Hello and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. I'm going to cover 2 weeks in this particular episode because 1 week I had a pretty small reading pile, and the other week I had a fairly good one, but I read a lot of Flash. Well, actually, both weeks I did. So this is from November 16th, 2015, all the way to 11/29, 2015. So it included the Thanksgiving weekend. Didn't read as much as I would have liked to, but I did get to read a little bit, which is good. And before I get into that, I recently picked up some issues of Super Friends. I think I have like 1 through 12 or 15 right now, and then a spattering of a few others. So I hope to complete that collection because that helps me towards every single DC comic since 1973. And then I picked up a lot of the Brave and the Bold, and these are prior to 1973. But I want to complete this. I still got a I don't know, about 20 or so books to complete on that run. And there's more if I want to go even further back. But I pretty much got like issue 64 through 78, a handful in there. We got a Batman versus Eclipso, a Batman and Metamorpho, a Batman and Green Lantern, a Batman and Hawkman. Got a couple of Spectres in here, which is cool. A Batman and Green Arrow. The Spectre and the Flash. I'm really looking forward to reading that because I'm a huge Spectre fan. And then I have a Batman and Spectre, Batman and Plastic Man. I always enjoy Plaz, so that should be a good one. And then Batman, Wonder Woman, and guest starring Batgirl. And then another issue of Sea Devils. Sea Devils is pretty amazing. As far as the covers, man, their covers are awesome. I don't have very many Sea Devils, but maybe three or four. But when I do see them, I will pick them up. And this one is such a beautiful cover. Like it was graded at good and good less than that, fair. And it's because whoever had this book had punched holes in it, like to put it in a binder, so it's got two hole punches. But other than that, like you flip through it, it looks amazing. But those hole punches really degrade a book. So yeah, I was really happy with those acquisitions. And now I'm going to talk about what I read for the week beginning 11/16 through 11/22/2015. Again, the ratings are 5, I love it; 4, I really like it; 3, I like it; 2, did not like it; and 1, hated it. And it was a DC week this that week. I read New Teen or Teen Titans Volume 5, which is the New 52's second volume of Teen Titans. They've had a rough run; can't seem to really find their footing, but having said that, I rated it a 3 out of 5. I enjoyed them. This was issues 6 through 13 and annual number 1. Will Pfeiffer is the artist. I mean, not the artist, he's the writer. And let's see who the artist is. There was several of them. There was one artist I didn't care for. And then there was, I think Tyler Kirkman did, no, Kenneth Rockefeller did several of them, and I really enjoy his art. And some of the other ones, Ian Churchill did one, Felipe Wannabe, he might have been the guy I didn't care for, and then Kenneth Rockefeller. I like Kenneth Rockefeller. I like his layouts. I like the way he draws quite a bit. And I did get some of the variants in this run too. Like I had the Lost Boy variant, which is the movie poster variant, which is the Teen Titans as the Lost Boys. Love that movie. There was a Joker variant that I got. Didn't get the Titans Go variant, but I did get the Bombshells variant, of course. That's one that got me into the DC variants, and then the Green Lantern variant. Yeah, it's Beast Boy. I can't remember his name is Brick, or he makes those bricks. and Robin and Wonder Girl and Raven, and they're an interesting team. I like them. It's just that they don't have that family aspect, and every time they try to gain the family aspect, like they brought Superboy back in the annual, and then it ran into two more issues. A lot of the DC annuals now, they are not standalone stories. They are part of the arc. So, like, you'll read issue, I'm just going to give you an example, like 11, and it'll say continued in the annual, and then you go get the annual, and then it'll say continued in the next issue. So, the annuals are like vital for, I would say, 80 to 90% of the DC books now. For reading the continuing story arc, yeah, you might not like that because you spend $4.99 on an annual. You got extra pages and such, but I guess it just depends on what you're doing. I'm gonna get them anyway, and it was an interesting story arc, and they have it was popularity. The Titans were becoming popular in the media. They were working for Star Labs, but Robin's like mis you know like he thinks they're up to something, so he's being very cautious. They also have the new Power Girl that they introduced in like Earth 2, and Power Girl, World's Finest. So she was also in the one of the weeklies. Can't remember which one it was, but they've introduced like a lot of the Justice League Elite characters, although they refined them. The biggest character is Manchester Black. He's kind of goofy in the New 52 because he's like really young. He doesn't have that. He has the attitude, but it's more like a scientist, smart guy. The other one, it was real brash. He kind of had a Constantine attitude. He was way better than this New 52. Justice League Elite, Joe Kelly did a fantastic job with those. And you have Monkey on art. I really enjoyed the Justice League Elite. Not so much here. They're okay. They're like a Star Labs team, and it's not like the Elite that was formed. There were a lot of new characters in the old 52, or the old DC, whereas now they're kind of like existing characters. So they have like Guardian and the Clarion, the Witch Boy, a couple others. So they're taking existing characters and put them in this team that they work for Manchester Black to go after the Titans, because Manchester Black kind of turns on them, and the Titans are aware of it. And then the Titans get fractured when Superboy comes back because Wonder Girl wants nothing to do with them. But I think you will enjoy it once you get hooked on it, because it's like a soap opera. I enjoyed it. There was a lot of things that I didn't enjoy. Is that every time it seems like they're getting closer and becoming like a functional team, something happens and then they separate again. And that's what Manchester Black did with like Wonder Girl and Power Girl. He separated them, and this is a very different Power Girl. It's not the one that you're used to with the chest window. This is a younger version of an African American Power Girl, and she got her powers from that Power Girl when her mom died. So she had like a tragic origin story, and they kind of covered it in the Titans issue. What else do I want to say about it? Give it a shot. You kind of know immediately. I like reading it, but it's not like my favorite. And the next out of 3 out of 5 was Flash 31 through 35. This is Van Jensen and can't think of his name right now. He's writing Green Lantern too. The artist is Brett Booth. I couldn't stand his art at first, but as I read, like, I started in the 30s and worked my way all. I read about 12 issues of The Flash plus an annual. I started to enjoy it. I don't know why. I remember his art a lot from the 90s. Like, I remember him doing like Grifter and a couple of those side books for Wildstorm. And what was the one? Backlash, I think, was the one that I really remembered him from. So I've liked his art in the past. He just has like this weird smooth line that makes everybody look really thin. But this arc has been lasting a long time. There's been two arcs that are going on, and I'll talk about the second one later, but this was basically there's a rupture in the Speed Force, and Barry in the future comes back to prevent Barry of the past by getting rid of him. So it's a very he has this like cool blue uniform too, and I'll talk more about it later because I rated this a 3 out of 5, but after I got past the first few issues and getting used to the art again and starting to feel the flow for what kind of story they were trying to tell. It's a Robert Venditti, by the way. There are several variants on this that I did buy too. The movie cover variants, the Green Lantern variant, the Joker variant, the Bombshell variant. So, yeah, it was a good story, and I'll talk more about it later. But most of these earlier issues, they have to do with the Blue Flash, and a lot of these, not this particular issue that I started with, but the one before it was the first appearance of New 52 Wally, which has really gone up in value because of the TV show. So there's that. The next one I've read is Cyborg 2 through 4. This is David Walker, and it is a good series, and it's got Ivan Reis art. He's been a favorite. Like, he's done a lot of Green Lantern and Justice League and stuff, and Aquaman with Geoff Johns. He is a really good artist, and the art is really cool. The story is kind of weird. It really is, because it's dealing with alternate universes, and his father, Cyborg's father, is actually from another universe, and because of him, he's caused these amalgams of machinery that morph humans in the future, and they're coming after Cyborg. So it is a good story. The art is really good. The story is interesting. It just hasn't really hooked me yet. Like, there's aspects that I like a lot, and it seems like it's delayed, even though I'm not sure it is. It just seems like there's only 4 issues out. I know it didn't start after Convergence. It did start after Convergence, and it didn't start like immediately. It actually was a month or two after Convergence ended, so it could be right, but there's 4 issues. I'm all caught up. I think there might be a fifth one coming out this coming week. So you heard Harley, she was shaking. And then, so that was the 3 out of 5. So we got Teen Titans Volume 5, Flash, Cyborg, all DC. And then we jump into the 4 out of 5s. Some of these were borderline, like almost into the 5 out of 5s, but I docked them, and they were classic Aquaman. They were Peter David time period Aquaman. We had Aquaman 1 million, and if you remember, this came out of the Grant Morrison story where they had all the Justice League in the year 1 million. And what they ended up doing is the classic heroes went into the future to meet or and see what the world was like in that particular year, and the other future heroes went back into the past. And this was featuring Aquaman going to the planet of Neptune, where all of Neptune's surface is liquid, and he's worshipped there as a god. And during that time period, there's a Kraken, like a Leviathan, that was brought to Neptune that actually couldn't deal with. Like, he was a huge monster, and they thought Aquaman unleashed the Kraken on this particular world. But it turns out that he was just freaking out because he couldn't adapt to Neptune's atmosphere, and they introduce a new Tempest, and she's female instead of Garth. So that was interesting. The art was really nice. And then I read Trinity of Sin number 2. This is The Question, Pandora, and my favorite, Phantom Stranger. And it was a really good issue. And I can't remember what the spear is called, but The Question used the Spear of Inquiry, I believe it was. And it was, like, forged from the Spear of Destiny. So that's, like, fucking cool as shit. Really enjoyed that issue. Then we get into Aquaman number 3 and Aquaman number 2 to round up the 4 out of 5s. One of them was an annual. It was a standalone annual that had to do with, like, the future. It was called Dead Earth. It had to do, like, what if the Earth was dying? All the annuals had the same theme. And the other one was Pulp Heroes. I didn't capture the annuals back in the day because I'd skip them because they were different stories, and a lot of them seemed like Elseworlds, and these were that, but they were amazing. The first one dealt with like two people walking, and they run into each other, and they had a battle of stories, and the stories involved Aquaman, and the other one involved Ocean Master, Aquaman's brother, attacking Aquaman in the future when most of the Earth is covered in water. The other one, it was barren, covered in desert. So it was very interesting contrast. And I really like that story because it was like Aquaman was the king. He'd always have these people come to Atlantis, which was really small at the time, and they'd beg for water. But when he left Atlantis and went back to where these people were, he learned that they absolutely despised him and they hated him, and he had to fight his way out. And he had this run-in with the kid, which changed his opinion, and he started helping him. It was a really good story. Both of them were really good. And then Pulp Heroes was a weird theme. It was like turning it into pulp detective stories, and it's unusual to see Aquaman in detective stories, but it really worked. And like a Dead Man Wear Plaid or any of those pulp movies that you would see with detective stories, you know, gumshoe characters. It was really good. So I really enjoyed that. So that rounded up the 4 out of 5s in that particular week. So I read a lot of old books. I read a lot of old Aquaman. I'm working on completing all my Aquaman series. So on Volume 1, I have about 12 left. I have every single volume after that, with the exception of one annual in Peter David's run, and then towards the end of that run, I think after Eric Larson left, Tad Williams took over, and I really didn't like it when I read it, like, which is really weird. I think he's a novel writer, like a fantasy novel writer, and I just couldn't take it, and I stopped it. But now that I'm a completist, I want to go back and get those. So I need a handful of issues I still need to dig into. But I read those for Geek Retro, the Aquamans. They were really, really good. And I did acquire, like I said, Aquaman number 1 and 2, first volume. And I have 7, and I got quite a bit of them. Like, I have the marriage of Aquaman and Mera, and I have the first appearance of Aqua Girl. So, like, I'm working my way, but like I said, I got, I don't know, maybe it's 10 or 15 in Volume 1. And then maybe 6 left, maybe 7 of that Tad Williams and that volume that Peter David did. So, and one annual. So I got one annual left, and I think it was the Ape, GLA Ape Month or something like that, where the Justice League were turned into apes. So I still got to dig that one out. And then I'll have every single volume of Aquaman proper. I think the Golden Age stuff was in More Fun Comics, and I doubt if I'll ever get one of those unless I miraculously run into one at a low grade. But, So that accomplishment should happen within the next year or in 2016. I'll probably have completed my Aquamans. What else do I want? All right, so the next week was Thanksgiving week. I took bags of comics with me just kind of randomly. And starting at the 3 out of 5, so this was November 23rd through November 29th, was Zen Intergalactic Ninja number 1 from Devil's Due. And this read like a mercenary for hire, kind of like Lobo or any of those space characters. Even New 52 Lobo kind of read like that. If you like that kind of mercenary in space, you'll probably like this. Like Zen the Intergalactic Ninja has been around a lot. He started as independent. I think it may have even been like a cartoon at one point. And they had like all ages books based on him back in the day. So he's got like a lot of volumes. And this is Devil's Due, their take on him. And it was a 3 out of 5. Like, I didn't think it was great, but there was enough pieces there that kept me around. Like, I ordered 2, and then I'm gonna order 3. I'm gonna stick with it because I wanna learn more about this character. I have no experience with the character, so this is something new to me. But it reads like something that I've seen before, and that's kind of why I've rated it low. The next is a second read, Wrath of Eternal Warrior. I read a press copy of Wrath of Eternal Warrior for the Valiant podcast, and then this was a print copy, and I thought it would change my mood, but it really came in about the same. I thought the Book of Death finale was kind of lackluster, and this kind of flowed right out of it. And it's something that I've kind of seen before, like in Day of Judgment in the annuals, where Neuron in DC, they kind of went to like a hell, and that's kind of like what Eternal Warrior is having to deal with after the ramifications of Book of Death. So it was written really, really well, but it read really weird for a first issue. Like if I wasn't so vested in Valiant, I wonder how someone looking in would feel about it, especially if they didn't read Book of Death. It'd be very interesting. I like to hear opinions on Valiant. It's just mostly opinions you hear on Valiant are the people that always read Valiant. They're vested in the company and they're vested in the universe. So their opinions are going to be jaded, but it's always interesting to think what a new reader might see in a particular book or if it's attractive to them. The next one was an anthology. It was Vampirella 1969. It had a lot of writers like Eric Trautman, Nancy Collins, who was writing the ongoing. A lot of different artists. It was a good anthology because usually in an anthology there's one or two stories that I don't care for, but in this Vampirella story from Dynamite, I really enjoyed it. I really liked it, and I'm a fan of Vampirella, so I give that one a 4 out of 5. So all these are 4 out of 5s. Aquaman number 46. This was a good issue with I've been caught up on Aquaman, and this is the Cullen Bunn story arc, and it's coming to a closure. I think in next issue or the one after that, and then Abnett's taking over for a while, and then Geoff Johns is going to take over again, and a lot of negative press on Cullen Bunn's run on Aquaman. A matter of fact, he pretty much got so much bad press that early on in his run, he said, "I don't want to write this anymore." He started to feel like work, and he wasn't enjoying the character. And no matter what he tried, he wasn't liking. But for the most part, I liked it, and I like where he's going with this final arc. Like this one had Wonder Woman in it, and she was basically trying to track him down because the Justice League were after him. They were aware of what's going on in Atlantis and such. and they wanted to help him. And at this point, he doesn't want anybody's help, but Wonder Woman helps him, and it was a really good issue. That was a 4 out of 5. And then, as I got into Flash that week, I read 36 through 44, and really got into it. They have a Zoom where they bring to closure the Barry Allen future Barry Allen story arc, and they actually send Barry Allen into the past where he meets another major character, and that character in the past actually becomes one of his villains that work for Zoom later on. But Barry has his father, and his father's in prison, and just like the TV show. And Zoom is Thawne, and he recruits a lot of these new, brand new characters, like the Folding Man and two other women. One that could like freeze atoms in midair, and transmutate them. And there's a couple others, and he basically, his goal is to try to frame Barry and not make him loved by the media and just make him hated. And he almost succeeds, and it's still going on right now. The one thing about Robert Venditti and Jensen is they have like these long arcs. And what I mean by that is they could last like, 6 to 7 issues an arc. But if you read them like in one sitting, they read really well. Like they flow really well, and I really liked the outcome of a lot of the stories, and I'm starting to dig them. Matter of fact, in the next week, I'm going to talk about the last 2 issues of The Flash because I'm all caught up on it. It was really good read, and I enjoyed it reading over the holiday. The next one was another Devil's Due one, and it was called Surviving Supes. It was a comedy one, or Serving Supes, I'm sorry. And what they do is they serve them with things to come to court, and their specialty is superheroes, and it makes for a good humor book because nobody would wants to serve these soups because they get their ass kicked. Well, there's these two twins that have this organization, and they have like 3 employees plus themselves, and they're barely making ends meet. Like they're in the red, and they get a couple of missions, and they're kind of hilarious. But the art is not like it's not great, but it works really well in a comic that's developed on comedy. So I really enjoyed that book. Let's see who the creative team is on that one, 'cause I don't remember who they are. Steve Stern and Matt Yon are the writers, and John Yon is the it's Yuan is the artist. Yeah, they serve summons to these people, and they went after characters like Onslaught. And then Adonna Matrix, which was really funny. So I look forward to this one, and I'm gonna stick with it. I thought it was a good addition to their lineup. And then I also read Cops and Criminals. This was from Legendary Comics, and this is the Steve Grant story, and it was really good. It's basically a lot. This one cop gets recruited to go undercover, and he gets undercover deep. So he has to do like a lot of weird stuff. And it looks like there's like twists in there. Like they could flip it. Like he's a just guy. He wants to marry his wife. He wants to have a family. He wants to complete this last mission and go on with his lone life, but it looks like this mission is going to turn the tide and turn into a nightmare. At least that's the way it looks to me. So that's Cops and Criminals. Five on the 5 out of 5s now for that week. We had Aquaman Annual number 4. So this was the last one. This was Ghosts, and this one I really liked as well because it was like a lot of ghosts of the past came back. like Aqua Girl came back to Tempest, and Aquaman had a lot of the Atlantis Chronicles historic, characters that were in that Atlantis Chronicles book show up. And they even had a side arc where this woman had killed her husband, and his ghost showed up. And I kind of really liked the arc. It was really well done, really enjoyable. 5 out of 5 for me. The art was great. So then we got enough after Aquaman Annual. We got Justice League number 44. This was the Geoff Johns Dark Side War. This is a key issue, 44 is, and it actually has the death of a character that you won't expect, and it's really, really well done. And the way they do it, it has pays homage to like Crisis on Infinite Earths. It pays homage to the New Gods. It's really, really well written. And the thing that Johns does amazingly well is he has a respect for everything that's happened in the past. So those of you who've read a lot of DC will get a lot of the nods. And those who haven't read it, I still think it works very, very well as a new reader. So yeah, that's Justice League. Really good book. And that's Fabok on art, and he's pretty amazing on this story arc. Highly recommend it. The next 5 out of 5 was an unusual one. I didn't expect to like it as much. It was from Action Lab Entertainment. It was a Tomboy, and it's a very unusual story about a female who has a best friend, and her best friend is murdered, and she sort of becomes like a vigilante, based on this fantasy character that they used to love. And like, kind of like if you were into D&D and your best friend and kind of like lover was, you'd do D&D, and then all of a sudden he's not there. That's what this story's about, and it's really well executed. I really enjoyed it. The next one was 451 Media. Their books have been really knocking it out of the park. This was 6. This read like a movie, like a total action-packed movie about a bunch of military guys. One is believed to be dead, kind of like in the A-Team, and he forms this group, and it really works good. It has flashbacks into the past. It has the current story arc, and it really reads like, like a rated R action movie. So I'd recommend that one. That's number s it's 6, number 1. And then finally, my top 5 out of 5 was Dark Knight 3 Master Race. I don't want to spoil it, but it has a hell of an ending, and the art is so amazing. Like, Kubert does the art, and he like channels Frank Miller, and it's just beautiful. Especially the Wonder Woman scenes, and I like what they did with Superman and Wonder Woman. It kind of fell out of Dark Knight 2, and it looks to be real promising. And there's kind of like a really surprise ending. Azzarello wrote it. It's supposed to be like roughly plotted by Frank Miller, and then it has this mini comic in the middle that Frank Miller did, and it has to do with the Atom. And if you read The Dark Knight Returns, the sequel, number 2, Strikes Again, I think it's The Dark Knight Strikes Again, you know the Atom plays a huge part in that particular book. So, I don't know, like Frank Miller says, I really didn't have a lot to do with the main story. But he has a lot to do with that mini comic because he's credited all over there. So, highly recommend it, especially if you like Dark Knight and you enjoy Dark Knight 2. Even if you didn't enjoy Dark Knight 2, I think you'll enjoy this one. You could jump right in. So, I do think you have to have an appreciation, though, for where Batman is in this Elseworlds and in order to get stuff. So, if you haven't read, like, Dark Knight, you really owe it to yourself to read Dark Knight. I think you should read Dark Knight Strikes again to get an appreciation for the Atom and the Wonder Woman Superman thing, and then jump into this book. So, and I haven't even finished the Strikes again. I read one and two. I haven't even read the finale. I still need to read it, and I need to read it soon. Because I heard it went off the rails, but that's kind of why I've been waiting on it, to make sure I'm in the mood to read it. But that's it. I didn't have totals, but most of these were like DC. Like that first week, there was quite a few. All of them were DC comics, and I read like a dozen or so Flashes, quite a few Teen Titans, Cyborg, all caught up on an Aquaman annuals. And then in the next week, there was another a lot of DC there. But we had one Valiant. We had a couple of Devil's Due. We had one Legendary, which I usually don't read too much of that stuff. And then another 451 Media and an Action Lab. So, and Dynamite and Valiant. And so that was a well-represented stack of books. There were no Marvels, believe it or not. So we'll rectify that in the next episode. So thanks for listening again. You can reach us at geekbrunchpodcast.com. That's the website. You can go to Facebook and search for Geek Brunch Podcast, and you'll see the episode threads there. I'm at Mike Myers Brunch on Twitter. To support the show, you could retweet the episodes and share them with your friends on Facebook. And if you can, leave an iTunes review under Geek Brunch on iTunes and say that you know what you think about Mike M's Weekly Reads. And that should be it until next time. Read a lot of comics and enjoy. Try to be in the mood for what you read because that's when you'll maximize your entertainment on them. And it's interesting. I was in the Speculator site, and I always go to see what their Wednesday picks are. Even though I don't sell any of my books, I find it fascinating. This was like the first Wednesday that I had pre-ordered everything that they selected. Usually there's one or two obscure stuff that I didn't select, but I had nailed every single one, so that's pretty unusual. But we'll talk to you soon. And my email, if you need to reach me, is mike@comicbooknoise.com. You have a good one. Bye.